Corinthians, and I just love this passage. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And I'm just so thankful for the gospel. I'm thankful for its power. And in each one of our lives, I know all of us, every single one of us, have a testimony on the way that God has saved us and is conforming us into the image of Christ each day. And God has given us a ministry. And therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And that's definitely, I know, each one of our prayers, that we would stay strong in the Lord and not faint in the ministry that he's given to us. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And God has given each one of us as his children that ministry to reconcile others to himself. And it definitely starts with our own family. And I'm raising our children for the Lord and raising them in the Word of God. And so number one, as we look to being a mother in the ministry, we need to always be reminded of the foundation of our life. Number one, remember the privilege of who you are in Christ. And every day, we need to look to the Lord and remember that, letter A, we have been purchased by our Savior. Always have to think upon the fact that we are Jesus Christ, that we belong to him. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And each one of us have been bought with the incredible price of the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's important that every day we look back to the cross and remember the sacrifice that Christ made on our behalf. And I think of, you know, when a couple gets engaged, what's the first thing that everyone looks at? Oh, let me see your ring. And they post pictures of their ring. And they, you know, just the sacrifice that their husband-to-be made to purchase that ring for them. And we need to think about the sacrifice that Christ made. He gave his life. He gave his all so that he could purchase and redeem us for his own. Wow, what a Savior. Meditate on the cross daily. I encourage you, read a chapter from the Gospels daily just to keep it fresh in your heart and your mind. Sing songs about your Redeemer and the cross. Never forget what sin is and how horrifying it should be to us. And I think we know our sin has been paid for, but sometimes we can get away from the fact that sin still can be prevalent in our lives if we don't guard our hearts and walk in the Spirit. Sin violates a holy law. It comes between us and our Heavenly Father. It crucified our Savior and has a severe punishment in this life and the next. And just the effects of sin, when we see it in those that we minister to, just thanking the Lord daily that our sin debt has been paid for and striving to live a holy life for our God. We should be warriors against sin, evil, and darkness. And then as we remember that we've been purchased by our Savior, letter B, he should have the preeminence in our lives. He should be first and foremost. Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And in all of our decisions and our thoughts should flow through the filter of God's word, as God's word is the instruction manual for our lives. And I love listening to Christ exalting music. And one of my favorite songs, the lyrics read, may the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth bring glory, glory, glory to your name. May I see the world as you see it, God. May I be known by your name. And may my life bring you glory this day. And just an everyday prayer that, Lord, be in control of my thoughts, of my desires, of my actions. May everything about me bring glory to you. And I'm just giving him preeminence in all of our decisions. Then let her see the desire of our heart should be to grow in our love for God. So as he's in first place, that love for him should be flourished every day. Deuteronomy 6:5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And the more we understand God's incredible love for us, the more we'll grow in love for him. And if there's a time in my life, and it happens, where I'm a bit discouraged or I'm just feeling, just maybe getting a little depressed, I get back to the Word, I get back to Christ, and I remember everything he's done for me. When we get in his Word, he shows us his love in every passage, and that encourages our hearts. We love him because he first loved us. Andrew Murray said, a true revival means nothing less than a revolution, casting out the spirit of worldliness, making God's love triumph in the heart. And I want that revival every day. And I know, and I'm sure y'all can tell too, when you feel like, okay, there's not a revival happening in my heart, we want to get back to it. And that's, again, getting back to God's word and getting back to putting him in first place in our lives, because he definitely easily can be knocked off first place. Does everyone understand what I'm saying? I know it happens in my life. I'm like, whoop, I got to get back to the Lord, back to his word. Nothing can satisfy the entire man but the Lord's love and the Lord's own self. And then, so as we have God in first place, number two, as a mother in the ministry, don't neglect the most needful part of your life. So you say, well, I know I need to have God in first place. I know he needs to be preeminent in my life. But how do I make that happen? And, of course, when you think about the passage with Mary and Martha and how Jesus said, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. In Luke 10:42, letter A, commune with your Savior often. And so when we look at that example of Mary, definitely reminds me of being in the ministry, because all of us can definitely understand Martha, right? There's so much going on. There's always things to do. There's always people to serve and places to go. And we definitely need to get back to Mary and remembering that most needful part. And just reminding ourselves that this is what's most important, is our walk with the Lord, because out of that walk will flow our ministry for Jesus. We cannot know him if we do not spend time at his feet, meditating on his precepts. The Lord feeds and refreshes our souls that we may afterwards use our renewed strength in the promotion of his glory. So sometimes when people have that burnout, you feel like, I just can't go on. Well, that's when you get our soul refreshed. Because if we're not getting refreshed ourselves from the word of God and from communing with Christ, how can we give of ourselves? How can we give of the truth unless we commune with him? So making sure that we have that most needful part in our lives every day. I must know Christ myself personally. I must know him as the word reveals him. I must know his natures, divine and human. I must know his offices, his attributes, his works, his shame, his glory, the love of Christ. If I know him at all, I must love him. I love this quote from Charles Spurgeon, Lord, paint upon the eyeballs of my soul the image of thy son. And just keeping him before you at all times. And so as we commune with the Savior, part of that is, letter B, abiding in his word. Abide in his word. And definitely that's a part of our walk with Christ, is being in the word. That's how we know him. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. And just as you see a vine with the leaves that come out, it's one and the same. And that's what Christ wants with our lives. God's Spirit indwells us, and he wants to live through us. He wants us to be just like him, to grow into the image of Christ. So as you abide in the word of God and as you read the truths, make it personal. And when I read, I read as if God's speaking straight to my heart. And I ask God to show me himself and to show me what I need that day. It's very personal. And he's talking to me, and then as God shows me truth, sometimes I need to confess some things. Sometimes I'm praising him. Sometimes I need to thank him. But it's a communion time. It's a time when God speaks to your heart, and you're speaking right back to him and thanking him for what he's doing in your life. And little by little, he's changing us. And that, I'm so grateful, so grateful. I serve in the college. Some of you probably are like, I don't know who this person is, but I'm glad you all came. I serve in the college as the Dean of Women, and I just enjoy it so very much. I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2003, and the Lord brought my husband and I together. I met him here, and we served in the Philippines for 8 years, and then God brought us back to serve here in the ministry. And I just love what God does in hearts through his word. And I was thinking just now about the college ministry and just the girls when they come here, you know, especially as freshmen, everything's new. I remember those days. And then just to see God growing them. And when they go back home for the summer, just the comments from their church family and from their family about how different they are and how the Lord's changing them. But you know what? That's not just for Bible college. It's not just for when we're children. It's for now. God, this is a process for our entire lives. God wants to grow us and continue to work in our lives. And it's such a wonderful blessing that we can know him and continue to grow in his word. We need it every single day. I know I do in so many ways. So make it personal. And then letter C, as we're abiding in his word and walking with him, we'll then walk in the Spirit. And it's just, it all, it's kind of all comes together. You know, as we spend that time with the Lord and surrender ourselves to His Word and just obey and make changes personally, whatever He tells us to do, if we don't agree with it, let's make sure we get right with the Lord. Let's make sure that we agree with Him and always be willing to surrender our ways for the truth and for the Lord. And I love, you know, that lies women believe, and just so many times we believe something, but it's against the Word of God. So we always want to make sure that we're agreeing with God and staying on the same page as Him. And as we do that, we will be walking in the Spirit. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And practice His presence every moment of every day. God tells us, Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And I'm so thankful for that, that He is always with us. And we need to remember that every moment of every day. And crucify self, seek the filling of His Spirit that comes through truth, so Christ can live in you and through you. And then willingly humble yourself. And this is definitely something we have to do ourselves, that we need to practice. I think of being quick to forgive, choosing to serve, being grateful, speaking well of others, taking wrong patiently. Oh, that definitely tests our humility and our pride sometimes. Submitting to the authority in your life, even when you don't always agree. Those are ways that we can humble ourselves so God can then fill us and work in our lives. And I think a part of walking in the Spirit is praising the Lord. And I think this is something that's so needful in the lives of Christians, not just for ourselves, but for the world to see our Savior. Praise promotes our spiritual life. It removes our burdens when we're focusing on the goodness of God. Our burdens seem so light. That excites our hope, increases our faith, and it benefits others. Aren't you blessed by people that praise the Lord and that are encouraging? I know I am. I want to be around those people. And God wants each one of us to uplift Him and uplift others through our praise. So as we have God in first place, and as we're making sure that we're walking with Him every day, and the next point I have is know the roles that the Lord has given to you personally to fulfill His purposes. So as a mother in the ministry, we have many roles, and it's important to sit down and kind of think through those roles and write them out. In Ephesians 1:11, the Bible says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." So God has a purpose and He has a will for each one of our lives. Letter A, list your roles by priority. So what are your priorities? Of course, we started out this outline with we're a child of God. We are a follower of Christ. So that's our number one role is we're God's child and we're to represent Him with our lives. Ecclesiastes 3:17, "For there is a time for every purpose and for every work." And I think, you know, as a mother and in the ministry, our roles can change from time to time. Of course, we're a follower of Christ. Most of them, I'm assuming, are married. So you're a wife. You're a mother. But then those other roles can change. You can be a youth pastor's wife. You could be a song leader's wife. You can be a children's ministry wife. My husband's a singles pastor, so I'm a singles pastor's wife. So we all have several roles. You're a daughter. You might be a sister. And so list your roles that God has given to you. And then letter B, set goals and have a vision for each role. Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." I know I have a desire and I have a vision for the different roles in my life. But I pray through those, and I want God to give me a vision for what He wants to do. Yeah, maybe I don't always meet my goals, but I'm never going to move forward if I don't sit down and think about it and pray through it and write out what I want God to do in my life and through my life. What are you asking Him to do in your life for His glory? Where do you see yourself in 1 month, in 1 year, in 5 years? And then how do we get there? Letter C, prayerfully prepare a plan to fulfill your goals for each role. Colossians 4:17, "Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received of the Lord, that thou fulfill it." And what a privilege it is to serve Christ. And God has given us a ministry, and I want to fulfill it for His glory. He has done so much for me, and I want to do my best for Him. So I give an example here. Example, I'm a child of God. God wants to have a thriving personal relationship with me on a daily basis. So that is my role. My goal, in order to fulfill my role, I need to spend time with my Savior on a daily basis. Y'all know this. This is pretty simple, but I'll go over it with you. So my plan is I'm going to get up half an hour early every day to spend time in the Word and prayer. And then got to have execution as well. Because I'm really good at making my vision, and I'm even good at making my plan, but it's the execution part that I don't do so good at sometimes. So where's Angela? She here? She's one of my little accountability partners. We jog together in the morning, and she's good, you know, helping me with that. But it's good to have someone or an accountability system. Maybe it's a journal, where you have your daily time with the Lord and you write in your journal every day what God spoke to your heart about. Maybe you have a prayer partner, someone just to keep you accountable in areas. Maybe it's your husband. But definitely executing is important with those goals and that vision that God has given to you. And, you know, when we fail, just get back up for the glory of God and keep going on. That's so important. And then now we're going to have a transition time and kind of going into some of those different roles, definitely that I think all of us can relate to. So number four, reignite your passion for your husband daily. And I just feel like you can't talk about being a mother in the ministry if we don't talk about our role as being a wife, because that's all a part of it. And I've been married 13 years now, and I do feel like it's something that I need to do, you know, on a daily basis, is reignite that passion, because we can all get busy, and especially with little children, oh, we get exhausted, and sometimes our marriage can get put aside because we know it's okay, everything's fine there, but we do need to invest into it. And you're the only wife that your husband has, so that you're the only one to fulfill that role. And you can find another nursery worker, you can find another, you know, whatever it is, but you are the one to fulfill that position as your husband's wife, and he needs you and you need him. So letter A, as you reignite the passion of your husband, I put through playfulness. Yes, I chose that first. Privately and publicly. I just think it's so important. And, you know, as you read about the different roles and what's important, the needs for men and for women, of course, you hear that being the recreational companion and how important that is for a man. Song of Solomon, I am my beloved's, and his desire is towards me. I want my husband's desire to be towards me. And we've heard a couple that prays together stays together. Also, a couple that plays together stays together. So be affectionate. Continue to date. I think about those dating times and how I would prepare myself. And, you know, like, I wanted to look so great and smell so good all the time for him. You know, I was so afraid on our honeymoon. Okay, I probably shouldn't share. This was not in my notes. I probably shouldn't share things that are not in my notes. But on my honeymoon, I was like, oh, okay, this is horrible. But I'm like, I don't know if you see me without makeup. So bad. This is bad, I know. And then in the morning, I had breath mints right next to the bed. I was so worried about every little thing, you know. I just wanted to be so nice for him all the time. And then, you know, after 10 years, things can change. So I just want to encourage you to keep yourself up for him. You know, keep that dating stage. Keep, you know, when you feel better about yourself, you know, everything's better. So just make sure that you remember how it was when you were dating. And remember the way you saw him when you were dating. And don't lose that spark. Don't lose that love. Be affectionate in front of your children as well. They need to see that love between you and your husband. They love it. My children love it. They just think it's so great. I mean, they act like they don't, but they do. They love to see their parents, you know, just loving each other. And I think about recreational partner. So many times it's easy when our husbands suggest something to come up with excuses not to do it. Am I the only one? Oh, well, I've got to do this, or I'm tired, or we come up with excuses. Well, change that around. And when he decides or, you know, says, hey, let's do this, just say, yes, let's. And then pick him up off the floor. When oh, wow, you're not going to argue. You don't have, you know, something to say about it. Be willing to follow along with him. He needs that. He needs you to be there with him. And then, I'm not going to talk about this a lot, but make your intimate life a priority and a special part of your day. And know your husband's need in this area, because it is a need. And I just thought about, just as you plan, you know, as you would plan a meal and you go to the store and buy the ingredients and you would prepare it and prepare the table and you plan that out, plan that part of your day as well. Prepare your room. Prepare your mind. And I don't know about for you. I won't go into too much detail. But for me, if I'm thinking about other things, it's not so great. Make sure that your mind is there with him as well. But that's such an important part of the marriage relationship. But I think especially in the stage where we have young children, and my children now are 11, 9, and 6. So I don't have babies, although my baby, he's 6. But I don't have the baby. I'm not in that stage right now. But I know it gets busy, and I know we're tired. And I know that can be something that isn't a priority for us, but it needs to be, and it needs to be for our marriage. You will be the one to receive the blessing. When you withhold yourself intimately from your husband, it will affect your marriage and your family life, and it will open the door for temptation. So just make sure that you're being that helpmeet that your husband needs in that area, and in just outside too as well, just being with him and being willing to serve with him. Letter B, you support your husband through admiration and respect. The aged women likewise, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. One of the best things you can do for your children is to invest in your marriage. Your marriage is to take priority over them, and they need to know that. I know I was thinking about even, you know, when we pick up my husband from work or whatever, and my kids are in the backseat, you know, talking, and they'll want to interrupt, and we haven't talked all day, and so I have to tell them, you know what, Daddy and Mommy are talking. They need to know that that relationship is important, and that they can't just interrupt, and making sure that he knows it. When he's talking to me, sometimes I'll be on my phone or looking or doing something. I need to make a point to stop and to look at him and to listen to him, and that's just showing respect. And I'm also with just facial expressions, making sure that, you know, we're having the right facial expressions and being supportive to our husbands, or the tone of voice and the way you respond. Pray for him and pray over him and entrust him to the Lord. And a pastor was talking recently about, you know, controlling people. I looked at my husband, I'm like, am I controlling? He just gave me a smile. So I thought, oh, maybe I am. But you know what? Sometimes when you feel like you want to nag, or you want to try to control something or change something, give it to the Lord and just bring it to him in prayer. Because he's the one that can be the change. He is the change agent, the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Most of the time, it's the Holy Spirit changing me and changing my perspective. And so make sure you just entrust your husband to the Lord and pray over him and pray for him. My husband's mother passed away when we were serving in the Philippines as missionaries, and she's a prayer warrior. And so now I think, I know my pastor prays for my husband, but I might be the only other person. And so it's so crucial that I'm praying for him. And be his greatest cheerleader and encourager. Men need encouragement, and they need to know that they're loved and that you're behind them and cheering them on. And then let her see through service, serving him. For brethren, we have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And when I think about liberty, we think about our relationship with Jesus Christ, and that it's by grace that we're saved. And so many people will take that grace for granted and just decide to do, well, I'm saved, so I can do whatever I want. And that's not what grace is, because Christ has done so much for us. We need to give our lives back to him. It's a privilege to do that. And I think about the liberty of marriage, that we have made a commitment, and you know that he's committed to you. And sometimes we could take advantage of that. So just want to challenge you to earn his love, and don't take it for granted. It's precious, and it's precious in the sight of our Lord. And we need to truly love him. He's your priority, and make sure his needs are met. I think of just, you know, in serving him, keeping your house tidy and a place of refuge for him, a place that he wants to go home to, a place that he loves being at. Know the meals that he prefers and cook them for him. My husband's not a casserole person, so we don't have casseroles in our house, but just knowing what he likes and adapting to that. Serving alongside of your husband in the ministry, be an active part. We have activities, and Angela knows as well. She serves, and we serve together in a singles class. We have activities every single week, and she's there with her husband, and I'm there with my husband. We're serving alongside of one another. We're all in. Those singles are family to us now, and we love it. It's a part of us. It's who we are. Live to build him up. Keep your focus on pleasing your Lord and fulfilling the needs of your man. If you do this, God will make sure that your needs are met. You take care of his needs, and he'll take care of you. And then letter D, through forgiveness. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I love this illustration that someone gave one time, and I just thought it was perfect for this. On her golden wedding anniversary, a grandmother revealed the secret of her long and happy marriage. On my wedding day, I decided to choose 10 of my husband's faults, which, for the sake of our marriage, I would overlook, she explained. A guest asked her to name some of the faults. To tell the truth, she replied, I never did get around to listing them. But whenever my husband did something that made me hopping mad, I would say to myself, lucky for him, that's one of the 10. How wonderful is that? How wonderful is that? That's what I'm going to do. every time something, you know, he might do something that I feel like is wrong, I want to just be able to forgive. And that's definitely the way God wants us to be, because he's forgiven us so much. And how horrible it is for him to look upon us and see us with an unforgiving spirit when Jesus gave his life for our sins. So let's forgive, and let's choose to love. No one is perfect. Marriage is made up of two imperfect people. So let's show grace. It's such a beautiful example to the world to see us loving one another and showing the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't go to bed without peace in your relationship. Life is too short to be angry and hold bitterness against one another. And number five, I better get moving along. Rejoice in the gift of motherhood. And it truly is a gift. And again, just as you're the only wife for your husband, you are the only mother for your children. And no one will care for your children the way that you will. No one will bring them up in the Lord the way that you will. So it's such a precious gift that God has bestowed to each one of us. Letter A, allow Christ to shine through you in your home. And if I, says Jesus Christ, be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. John 12:31. Your children need to see your faith, not just hearing you talk about it. They need to see you live it out. They need to know that you're real, that you're the same person that they see at church in the home. And Dr. Rasmussen was, I was passing him the other day in the hallway, and he said, oh, I used you in an illustration in class today. I said, oh, what was it? And he said, I told him, your house must be a joyful place because you're so joyful. And you know what? That was convicting to me, because I thought, am I always as joyful in the home that I am around campus here with the girls or at church? And it just reminded me that, you know, I need to make sure that I'm keeping that joyful. So I think we can just take advantage of our family. I do. I think, well, they're ours. They love us, and we can let down our guard. But you know what? Our children need to see that joy of the Lord. It's going to draw them closer to Jesus Christ. His ways must inform our walk. I encourage your children to grow in the Lord daily. Christ is their role model and the person whom they should strive to be like, always pointing to the truth of the Word of God. And involve your children in the ministry with you. Make it fun for them. Our singles activities, they go to every activity with us, and they have a blast. They love it. They just think, this is great. We get to do things every week. And missions conference, oh, I got to get the signature of the missionaries. And make church just a wonderful place for them, a place where they grow in the Lord. And don't neglect their need and walk with the Lord. You know, during the invitation, many times I'm praying with my children, what did God speak to your heart about? And making sure that you're focusing on their heart for the Lord. And then letter B, shower your children with love and affection. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. In the training process, strive to encourage them more than correct them. And how many of you have toddlers? No, don't touch that. No, you know, it's so easy to find yourself, you know, in that just all day long correcting them, but make sure that we're encouraging them as well. And we got to look for those opportunities. And if we look, God will give them to us over and over. Make sure you're quick to say, I'm proud of you. I love you. I'm so thankful for you. Build them up. Ah, I'm going to cry because mine are getting too old, Angela. My oldest is 11, and I just, they grow up fast, and I want to cherish every moment with them. I want them to know I love them very much. Build them up more than tearing them down. And this goes for everyone in your life, your husband, your relationship in the ministry. Build people up. Help your children to become who they were created to be, not who you want them to be. Help them to recognize their God-given gifts. God has given every person a gift. Help them to find that. Help them to try new things and invest in their lives in that way. Sorry, my microphone. Don't compare your children to one another, and don't compare them to other children. And they're very unique, and God has a purpose for each one of them. Help them to see that they were fearfully and wonderfully made, and that God loves them so very much. Letter C, provide protection through instruction and prayer. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. As parents, we must train our children in the way that they should go. And from the Word of God, when they are old, they will not depart from it. Consistency is key. Stay firm to boundaries and pray for discernment. And I know Angela and I were just talking the other day just about, you know, just asking God for discernment, especially as she is a teenager, and the friends that they're hanging around, and the influences in their lives, and just so important that we're praying for them and seeing what's going on in their lives. Protect their schedule. Sometimes the worship idol of overcommitment, sometimes they're keeping them so busy and can come into the family. So making sure that they have that time, the family time and time together. Use scripture when training. They need to understand the why behind what is expected. And I know a lot of times the girls come into the college, they have so many questions. Why do we have these standards? Why do we have these rules? And I, you know, it's my goal to teach them, we do this because this is what the Word says. And we're trying to follow closely to what Christ has told us through His Word. Teach them that excellence and hard work matters. Sometimes they will fail, but failure is not final. So teach them how to work hard and teach them to keep going on when they make mistakes. And then pray for your children. Pray over them individually. Pray for their future spouse, for godly friends, for God to protect their heart and mind. And I love this quote. Prayer is a blanket of grace covering your mistakes and failures. When your children struggle, this blanket catches them. And I know I make mistakes all the time, and my children know it because I'm constantly, not constantly, but I have to apologize to them sometimes. Sorry, Mommy reacted in anger. Sorry that we didn't do what I told you we would do. I'm going to make that right. So just show Christian living to your children. It's okay for them to see that, because as you pray for them, God will use that grace to connect your hearts and keep going on for the Lord. And then letter D, nurture their souls from the Word of God. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And I didn't grow up in a Christian home, so it's so important for me and so wonderful to be able to bring up my children in the Word of God. And I just feel so privileged to be able to do that. Read scripture with your children. Talk about Jesus and the truth of the Word of God at home throughout your day. Sing songs about the Lord together. Have family Bible time and prayer, but always lifting up the Word of God. And this can mean definitely disconnection from technology and just really overseeing that and making sure that they're not just spending all their time on video devices or games and just letting them know, maybe you can have a half an hour here, but making sure that they're doing things that will build their minds and their hearts for the Lord. Okay, and number 6, be blessed in your service for a worthy God. And it really is a blessing to serve the Lord, as each of you know. Letter A, know the work that God has called you to do. 2 Timothy 1:9 tells us, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And I love what Dr. Shetler says. He says, spend your life on two things on earth that are eternal, the Word of God and the souls of men. And definitely being a mother and being in the ministry, we can do that. The souls of our children, the souls of those that we minister to, and always keeping the Word of God foremost in our lives. And so focus on those areas in your life. How can, and even in your ministry, when you're ministering to others, how can I help this person to grow in the Lord? How can I instill truth into them as you minister? The true success in life is finding, following, and finishing God's will for your life. And I pray that that's a goal for each one of us, that we will finish strong for our Lord. God has called each one of us to be a witness for Him. And definitely part of each one of our ministries is just being a soul winner. Of course, we're going to hear that all throughout the conference, but I've been challenged myself about just being a greater witness for our Lord out in the community. And plan your schedule according to your roles and make those your top priorities. Obviously, your time with the Lord and your time, you know, taking care of your home and your family. And then as you have open time, prayerfully ask God to give you wisdom about what to do. I used to say yes to everything anyone ever asked right away. Yes, I'll do it. Yes, I'll do it. And then I found myself overwhelmed. I can't do all this. And I learned, let me pray about that. And I'll pray about it. I'll talk to my husband, go over my schedule, and then make sure it's what God wants me to do. Because there's so many great things to do, as you all know. But you need to know what it is that God has for you personally to do in the ministry. Letter B, faithfully serve the Lord with all of your heart and with a joyful spirit until Jesus comes. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. And I love what the Apostle Paul says in Acts 20:24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received with the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Isn't that a great life verse? That whatever comes into your life, it's not going to move you. You're going to stay focused on the Lord. You're going to stay focused on the roles that God's given to you, and you're going to do it with joy. And we do it with joy as we keep Christ in first place in our lives. And we serve the Lord. It's refreshing to ourselves. It cheers other believers. It's helpful to sinners. And it's honoring to our Savior. And then letter C, purpose to live for the glory of our God alone. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And ladies, I think this is so important, because if we're doing anything, what we do for someone else, we will get discouraged. Because people are so fickle, as Pastor says, you know, they like you one moment, they don't notice you the next. But if you're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ, you know you're doing the right thing, and you know that God sees you, and he will reward you. So, such a blessing to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and to do what you do for him. And the last verse, Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I'm so thankful that he's created us. And that he's given us a purpose, and he's given us families to raise for him. And I pray that each one of you will do just that.